This morning, we continue our week-long look at the Congdon legacy. Chester and Clara Congdon raised six children, and two of them were young enough to have the good fortune of spending their childhood at the Glensheen Mansion on the shore of Lake Superior in Duluth, Robert and Elizabeth Congdon. The Congdon family tree today has grown to include hundreds of relatives, but after Chester and Clara, the best-known Congdon might be Elizabeth. She lived her life at Glensheen until her untimely death at age 83. But what about her life? Here is Lucy Amundson.
Unfortunately, Elizabeth is most famous for the way she died as opposed to the way she lived. And, you know, she was a woman who chose not to get married. In her 30s, she adopted two girls as a single person. She zipped around Duluth and Park Point in an electric car. You have to think that she was kind of a cool gal.
In fact, Elizabeth Congdon's life and who she was as a Duluthian, a mother, and a grandmother, and the last Congdon resident at Glensheen, has been overshadowed by her murder in 1977. The high-profile jury trials of daughter Marjorie and her second husband Roger Caldwell are also part of the Congdon legacy in Minnesota. In that they had a big impact on policing and crime scene investigation. Judge John DeSanto, then prosecutor of these cases, shares some of the details that made this crime a legacy in Minnesota.
I want to give you a little glimpse of what it was back in 1977 here at Glensheen, the scene of two tragic murders, the murder of Elizabeth Congdon and Velma Pietila. On June 27, 1977, which was a Monday morning, the bodies of Elizabeth Congdon and her night nurse, Velma Pietila, were found here at Glensheen. The date itself, June 27, 1977, is a date that I remember and is part of my life, much like my own birth date. The investigation which followed the discovery of Elizabeth Congdon and Velma Pietila's bodies here at Glensheen, the double homicide investigation, was headed by the Duluth Police Department and by Detective Sergeant Gary Waller. It was an investigation which stretched from Duluth and St. Louis County to Golden and Jefferson County, Colorado, to Minneapolis and Bloomington, and involved agencies throughout the country. The Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, the FBI, the FBI laboratory in Washington, D.C., the Colorado Bureau of Investigation in Denver, Colorado. This investigation, in turn, led to the two of the longest and highest profile criminal cases in Minnesota criminal history. They resulted in the three and a half month trial of Roger Caldwell in Brainerd, Minnesota, presided over by Judge Jack Lippman. That trial lasted from April 10th to July 10th, 1978. It was followed a year later by a four-month trial, a longer trial yet, of Marjorie Congdon Leroy Caldwell in Hastings, Minnesota. That trial started on April 3rd and ended on July 21, 1979. But the interesting thing about then and now is then we didn't do things as well organized as the Sheriff's Department does now or the Duluth Police Department does now, because we learned hard lessons in the courtroom of hard knocks when those two criminal defense lawyers cross-examined our police officers and our expert witnesses. We had too many people at the crime scene, for instance. There were literally over 25 to 30 people at the crime scene while the bodies were still here. It included police officers walking through the crime scene with good intentions, salving their curiosity without gloved or bagged hands. And so what did that result in? It resulted in us having to deal with the palm print of the lead investigator, Sergeant Gary Waller, on the sink in the bathroom off the nurse's room where the murderer cleaned up. You think if we hadn't identified Sergeant Waller's palm print on that sink before the end of the trial and it happened during the testimony portion, that Roger Caldwell would have been convicted? No way. There would have been an unidentified but identifiable palm print on the sink that we knew was not Roger Caldwell's print.
That was Judge John DeSanto talking about the murder trial of Elizabeth Congdon. Judge DeSanto is one of the many who have authored books about this part of the Congdon legacy. Funding for this series comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and from KUMD, Duluth Public Radio.